cost lives. I mean, these actions are, you know, it may be a little bit more subtle than the lives cost because of their anti-science actions when it comes to vaccines and COVID-19 and protecting, protecting public health in that arena. But millions of people ultimately will die from the consequences of extreme weather events, coastal inundation, all of these impacts that are made worse by the, you know, the warming of the planet that's due to the burning of fossil fuels, the burning of fossil fuels by the very companies and plutocrats and petrostates that are behind the policies of this administration.
Said not since the ransacking of the Library of
A trio of queer poets from Slamlandia in Portland, Oregon.
The wing beat a flock. Sudden takeoff, escape, run, rabbit, run.
Love my body hair and my beard. We are learning to love our muchness by loving each other.
I wake each day knowing I will not be seen, deciding what facets I will share, so you can decide if I am real or not, in your limited perspective.
This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine. I'm Lucia Chappelle. Kazakhstan delays no promo homo bill for a Senate study. Egypt and Iran red card Seattle's World Cup Pride match. And Portland's queer poets shine at Slamlandia. Those stories and more this week now that you've chosen This Way Out.
And I'm Sarah Montague.
With NewsWrap, a summary of some of the news in or affecting LGBTQ communities around the world for the week ending December 13th, 2025. Kazakhstan's so-called LGBTQ propaganda bill is on indefinite hold. The Senate press service offered up the surprise on December 4th after the lower legislative house had unanimously approved the bill in November. Senators need more time to study the measure, according to the independent Kazakh Telegraph Agency. Its many amendments and additions to the labor code and 12 other laws present what the Senate press service calls a significant amount of work requiring additional time. The report goes on to explain that legislation regarding children's rights is always a matter requiring special consideration and increased attention. The bill would ban what it defines as LGBT propaganda from online platforms and the media. Violators could be fined, and repeat offenders could spend up to 10 days in jail. The Kazakh No Promo Homo proposal echoes similar versions in Russia and Hungary. Kazakhstan is a predominantly Muslim former Soviet republic in Central Asia that borders Russia, Turkmenistan, Uzbekistan, Kyrgyzstan, and China. Kazakh President Kasym-Jomart Tokayev is very friendly with Russia's Vladimir Putin. Tokayev has lobbied hard for the bill, calling its passage necessary to uphold traditional values. He leads a secular government, but its citizens are socially very conservative. It's not now clear how much time the Senate will need to study the measure.
Little did Seattle, Washington's World Cup Organizing Committee know when they scheduled a Pride match for June 26, 2026, that teams from two of the world's most anti-queer countries would be drawn. Egypt and Iran are up in arms. The Egyptian Football Association wrote to FIFA Secretary General Matthias Grafström this week stating that it categorically rejects holding any activities related to supporting homosexuality during the match between the Egyptian national team and Iran. Mehdi Taj leads the World Football Federation of the Islamic Republic of Iran. He announced on December 8th that the country would file a formal appeal during a FIFA Council meeting in Qatar in the coming week. Iran remains one of a handful of countries that punish consensual adult same-gender sex with execution. In Egypt, sexual activity between males has been included under the charge of debauchery as a violation of family principles or value, according to the Human Dignity Trust. That international organization cites consistent reports of discrimination and violence being committed against LGBT people in Egypt, including abuse, harassment, forced anal examinations, and the forced payment of bribes. Local organizers in Seattle are still planning a World Cup Pride match. They just don't know which two countries will be competing. World Cup matches are being hosted next year across North America.
Budapest Mayor Gergely Kerekcsony is being charged with allowing and participating in an LGBT pride parade on June 28th. Hungarian police notified the mayor that the municipal parade that drew tens of thousands violated the national pride ban. The law presumes that such events are harmful to children. Officials in the administration of Hungary's authoritarian president Viktor Orbán warned that they would use facial recognition software to identify and charge each and every pride marcher with a crime. Offenders could be fined up to the equivalent of $550. Organizers were threatened with up to a year in jail.
Ami a budapestieknek szabadság, az a főpolgármesternek szabadságvesztés.
In a Facebook post this week, Kerekcsony called the allegations completely absurd and said that the ban violates the basic right to freedom of assembly. In his words, in a system where the law protects power rather than people, in this system that stifles free communities, it was inevitable that sooner or later, as the mayor of a free city, they would take criminal action against me. I am proud that I took every political risk for the sake of my city's freedom, and I stand proudly before the court to defend my own freedom and that of my city.
Arlington, Texas, no longer protects its LGBTQ citizens from discrimination. The shocking 5-4 city council vote specifically removed sexual orientation and gender identity and expression as protected categories in the city's anti-bias policies. The slim majority bowed to threats by the Trump administration to halt some $70 million in federal funding as punishment for the city's diversity, equity, and inclusion policies. It's the first time in the 21st century that a U.S. city has rescinded its anti-bias protections for LGBTQ people. The Arlington Anti-Discrimination Ordinance was first introduced in 2021 in response to the death of George Floyd. Protections based on race, ethnicity, religion, sexual orientation, and gender identity, and other protected classes were included. The council temporarily suspended all discrimination protections in August. Mayor Jim Ross joined three council members in the December 9th failed effort to reinstate them. Despite the loss, Mayor Ross said after the vote, "The city of Arlington remains committed to fostering an inclusive and equitable community for all residents and ensuring that no one individual faces discrimination." He pledged to collaborate with community leaders, council members, and city staff to reach a solution that is palatable to all. Arlington is located in Tarrant County, along with the cities of Dallas and Fort Worth. Pride has a 40-plus year history in the region, but the smaller Arlington's first Pride was in 2021, around the time the anti-discrimination ordinance was passed. The event, organized by the Help Center for LGBTQ Plus Health, has since drawn more than 30,000 celebrants, with some 70% coming from outside the city. It's generated more than $8 million for the local economy. But not next year. The Help Center has announced that it is suspending the 2026 edition in view of the loss of protections. CEO DJ Johannesson said in the statement, "We cannot in good conscience invite attendees to an event in a city that refuses to provide even the most basic protections. Pride is about safety, celebration, and community. Without the local anti-discrimination safeguards, we cannot guarantee those values for our attendees, performers, or partners."
Finally, the official portrait of four-star Admiral Rachel Levine in the Health and Human Services Department dead names the first transgender person ever confirmed by the U.S. Senate. The change was apparently made during the government shutdown. A digital photograph first revealed by National Public Radio shows the male name Levine has not used since 2011 typed on a placard beneath the portrait. It's under-mounted glass, typically used for permanent institutional displays. Levine served in the U.S. Public Health Service Commissioned Corps during the Biden administration and was appointed the 17th Assistant Secretary for Health. She distinguished herself overseeing the federal COVID-19 response, HIV/AIDS prevention and treatment programs, and developing strategies to combat the exploding opioid epidemic. Levine resigned the day that Trump was inaugurated. In response to a question from NPR about who authorized the change and why, spokesperson Andrew Nixon stood by the dubious gold standard science of Secretary Robert F. Kennedy's HHS. Nixon claimed that the same department responsible for undermining universal vaccination programs is committed to reversing harmful policies enacted by Levine and ensuring that biological reality guides our approach to public health. Levine told NPR through a spokesperson that it was an honor to serve and that her focus remains on public health. She said, "I'm not going to comment on this type of petty action."
That's News Wrap, global queer news with attitude for the week ending December 13th, 2025. Follow the news in your area and around the world. An informed community is a strong community.
News Wrap is written by Greg Gordon and Lucia Chappelle, produced by Brian DeShazer, and brought to you by you.
Thank you. Help keep us in ears around the world at thiswayout.org, where you can also read the text of this newscast and much more. For This Way Out, I'm Sarah Montague. Stay healthy.
And I'm Rhett. Stay safe.
Support This Way Out in many ways.
By subscribing to our e-newsletter.
Email us at info@thiswayout.org.
And through your financial contributions to our program.
More information about how you can give is online at thiswayout.org.
Thank you.
You're listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine.
And now it's time to set our dials back with the Rainbow Rewind, your look at the moments, milestones, and memories that shape our queer journey.
From hard-won victories to cultural firsts, from the unknown to the iconic legends,
we celebrate the people and events that remind us how far we've come and how far we still shine. I'm Sherry Lunn.
And I'm Brian DeShazer. This week, we celebrate the birthday of Laura M. Ricketts, born December 15, 1967. She is co-owner of the Chicago Cubs baseball team, making her the first openly gay owner of a major league sports franchise. Writer and composer Noel Coward was born on December 16, 1899. Actress Sarah Paulson, who played Abby in the instant lesbian classic Carol, was born on December 17, 1974.
Anthropologist Margaret Mead was born December 16th, 1901.
But in general, parents, teachers, recreation leaders are all pressuring our children into the earliest possible heterosexual activity.
Now let's rewind some key queer moments. On December 18, 1973, The Advocate reported the American Psychiatric Association's decision to declassify homosexuality. And in 1974, the first International Gay Rights Conference began. It would lead to the formation of the International Lesbian and Gay Association, an international organization bringing together more than 750 queer groups from around the world.
On December 15, 1977, Canada's National Assembly, in a quiet late-night session, amends the Quebec Charter of Human Rights to include sexual orientation, becoming the first province and largest political jurisdiction in North America to provide legal protection for gay, lesbian, and bisexual individuals. And on December 20, 1993, the Bill Clinton-era U.S. military's Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy was formally enacted.
That's this week's Rainbow Rewind.
Because our stories aren't just in the past, they're the pride that powers our future.
I'm Brian DeShazer.
And I'm Sherry Lund. Stay tuned. More This Way Out is just ahead.
This is Sorgi Thor, and you are listening to This Way Out, the international LGBTQ radio magazine heard on over 200 radio stations worldwide, the World Radio Network, and on the World Wide Web. Keep listening.
Oregon, USA, city of the sketch comedy shows satirizing hip-conscious modern culture or the flaming hellhole depicted by the Trump administration. Residents of Portland and fans of Portlandia looked at the federal deployment of the National Guard with disbelief. The Poets of Portland deploy their skills twice a month for a live open mic performance event called Slamlandia. A trio of LGBTQ Slamlandia participants are sharing their work with the listeners of This Way Out. So we now introduce 18-year-old queer poet Evie Rothwell.
Claws and Jaws, The Life of Us Rabbits. The wing beat a flock. Sudden takeoff, escape, run, rabbit, run. A hawk is after you. Your little rabbit paws better keep up as you are prey yielding to predator, rearing claws and teeth. Run, rabbit, run. The hawk is wearing sheep's skin. Do not yield and submit to a false idol of safety. You are still a rabbit, and it is still predator with opened claws and sharpened teeth. Run, rabbit, run. Soft fleece and charming words do not keep a jaw from biting. Just because a rabbit isn't dead does not mean it isn't limping, bloody and bruised. You are lucky to be a rabbit. You are lucky to be alive. You are lucky to have grass and soft snow that lead directly to your exposed underbelly. We are all so lucky to be rabbits, running into our predator's claws.
That was Evie Rothwell. This non-binary Portland poet from Slamlandia is a familiar voice from This Way Out's news wrap. Here's a piece from Rhett.
Despite you. I am alive despite you. I wake each day knowing I will not be seen, deciding what facets I will share so you can decide if I am real or not in your limited perspective. There were days as a child, 6, 10, 13, and since then, when I had to decide to live, despite you. You see, what you don't see is actually a greater part of who I am. The silent intangibles define me and many others, not my edifice. And my generous life given to myself with intention every day has gifted me with the ability to evolve, because some things do change over time. Mother, health, perspective, abilities. Others do not. Some have names. Others do not. Some I fight against. Others I cannot. I have learned. But still, sometimes I try, or hide them by omission. My identity, like yours, is complex and layered. And some facets of me may be more relevant to you than they are to me. And so I neither embrace them nor deny them. While others I have always despised, my body, and yet found meaning in, when I became mother. These things that we define ourselves by need not be the things others define us by. But sometimes that requires clarification when assumptions are made. Often we don't.
clarify, that is, it's a chore. What's funny to me is that while you were busy defining me as woman, white, blonde, now brownish, American, adult, right-handed, youngest child, and so many other things, that was not my identity. I am mother, daughter, sister, cousin, friend, world citizen, inventor, 60, artist, poet, skeptic, lover of humanity and the universe, geek, optimist, mentor, problem solver, adventurer, historian, activist, introvert, survivor, and much more. And none of these are visible. So you see, there is much more to who I am and who you are than we will ever see. And if you did, would you erase me? Perhaps you wonder too. Rest assured, I acknowledge and accept you. Even if I cannot relate and do not agree, you are, in my eyes, free to be. And to redefine, too, as your life will change. And no, I will not judge you. Once I believed I owned my own destiny, and still, I think that's mostly true. But in my age, I realize my destiny is not as rich without me and you.
Evie will be back after our next Portland Slamlandia poet, Joshua Merritt, brings us Dragon Wings.
I love my person. I love my boyfriend. I love my girlfriend. That is all one person. They are much. Their gold nails are royal. Their muscled arms strong. I am loved by my person. I am their boyfriend. I am their girlfriend. I am all one person. My person loves me in high-waisted pants and sparkling heels. They love my body hair and my beard. We are learning to love our muchness by loving each other. We belong. It has taken us over 3 decades to even approach this point. We hid for the longest time. Dragons with glittering hides and golden claws that kept us protected. We found each other. Right as we arrived, we are scorched with questions. When are you going to leave America? What is your red line? We had dinner with my boss the other night, and his trans grandson had a rush-ordered passport on the way. He asked me to warn him when we were leaving, as if it is inevitable. He asked me to take care of his grandson if our world collapses. We are having these conversations unironically. This feels different. I don't remember having serious conversations about exit strategies at the beginning of Trump's first term. Some of my friends began talking about concentration camps even before the El Salvador deportations. My person has family in Germany. We might flee to Germany if it gets bad enough. Germany might be the center of democracy's great hope. My 7-year-old self is marveling at that statement. My mom cries on the phone when she talks about my nieces and their bodies. She is scared for my body and theirs. My nieces live in Arizona. The oldest loves unicorns. I bought her a glow-in-the-dark neon unicorn snuggie for Christmas. And maybe she isn't a niece after all, but a unicorn, or a phoenix, or a nephew, or a person like me, living with all the Arizona trans unicorns, all those red state trans kids, my people. I want them to know that they are true, that these lies are lies, even as the political ads draw horns and fangs on their faces. I want them to know they are loved. The propaganda is trying to bind our mermaid tails in dragon wings. And will we survive it? How long can we speak? How long can we lash our spiked tails, breathe fire, unfurl all our dragon wings, taking flight, shielding what we can as we do? We are meant to fly. We are meant to claw and gnash and live ferociously. I will not lay down without fighting that predator prince. I believe there is more.
That was Joshua Merritt. 18-year-old queer poet Evie Rothwell returns to the Slamlandia stage.
My grandma once told me, "We are a family of hummingbirds." And I'm sure she meant it in the terms of flitting around from flower to flower, from topic to topic, from hobby to hobby. But unfortunately for me, my grandma was a little too accurate. Because, you see, hummingbirds, they don't mate for life. I don't think I'm built for being with someone forever. I don't think I can win the soulmate raffle. I don't think there's someone built for me. I think I'm just built for people, and even then, not really. I am just a hummingbird, after all. I am flitting from flower to flower, from topic to topic, from person to person, and I love them all so much. I love everybody, so much. You all have a place in my garden, but I don't possibly have the time to love all of you. And who can possibly love a hummingbird when they'll never settle down? I have met plenty of perfect flowers, but I am never content with just one. I mean, I am in a garden for a reason, flitting from flower to flower, from person to person, from lover to lover, and I wish I could be happy being a blue jay or a magpie or hell, even a pigeon, but after all, I am just a small, flittering hummingbird.
Was Evie Rothwell. Queer poets Evie Rothwell, Joshua Merritt, and Rhett are participants in Portland, Oregon's Slamlandia Poetry Open Mic and Slam. For more information about the twice-monthly competition, check out Slamlandia, Slamlandia.com. Choosing This Way Out, brought to you by the nonprofit Overnight Productions. News Wrap was reported this week by Rhett and Sarah Montague and produced by Brian DeShazer. The Rainbow Rewind was written and produced by Sherry Lunn and Brian DeShazer, with thanks to the Pacifica Radio Archives for the Margaret Mead audio. Brian DeShazer produced this week's Queer Poets feature. Johnny Mathis and Mystique performed some of the music you heard, and Kim Wilson composed and performed our theme music. This Way Out thanks Lee Sloan of Albuquerque, New Mexico, Richard Merck and Brad Payton of Silicon Valley celebrating their 50th year together, and all the listener donors who make this program possible. Ask us about how you can join them. Look for This Way Out Radio on social media, email us at info@thiswayout.org, or write to us at P.O. Box 1065, Los Angeles, California, 90078, USA. For coordinating producer Greg Gordon and everyone at This Way Out, I'm Lucia Chappell. Thanks for listening online at thiswayout.org or wherever you get your podcasts, and on WLRI Christiana, Pennsylvania, 8CC CC Alice Springs, Australian Northern Territory, KDUR Durango, Colorado, and a wide array of community terrestrial and internet radio stations around the world, including this one. Stay healthy, stay safe, and stay tuned, y'all.
prefer tea or coffee? Indie, folk, rock, electronic, I've got it all. Tune in to What's Brewing Tuesdays from 7:30 to 8 a.m. for the freshest Canadian music to pair with your morning brew. Listen in as I chat over a cup of something fresh and talk about my favorite new releases from Canadian artists that I love. Nothing like good music and good coffee to start your day, so tune in to see what's brewing.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
And good morning. It is 7:30 a.m. here in Kingston, Ontario. You are tuned into CFRC 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca for those of you listening in through the web. We are located on the lower level of Carruthers Hall on the beautiful Queen's campus. My name is May, and you are now listening to What's Brewing. So this week is very heavy in the sense that it's a lot of rock music. I have some sludge metal, I have some grunge, new gaze, alt rock, math rock, punk adjacent, emo. That's what we're going with today. So to kick things off, we have Franklin with their newest single, Shark, released November 2nd. This is a White Horse-based sludge metal duo in anticipation of their new album, Decay, out January 31st. This is their debut album, actually. This album wrestles with time, rage, and persistence, and they say that their music feels like the North. It's vast, desolate, and a little unhinged, which I think is the perfect intro to a band ever. After that, we have Scorch with Monochromatic. This was released as a single on December 11th. This is a Montreal-based grunge new gaze group, and they have a fully animated music video on their YouTube for this track. It's absolutely insane. The visuals are done by Bad Cherry. You can see more of that on their social media or directly on their YouTube. This is also in anticipation of their new album, Catalepsy, coming out January 9th. So some things to look forward to in the new year. And then after that, we have Sticks and Stones Band with Savior, released as a single November 21st. This is a Toronto-based rock metal group reminiscent of like the 2000s hard rock. And it's led by a duo of brothers, Nicholas and Robert Lisanti. So without further ado, we're going to get right into things with Franklin and Shark right here on What's Brewing CFRC 101.9 FM. And welcome back. You just finished listening to Savior by Sticks and Stones Band. Before that, we had Monochromatic by Scorch. And at the very top of that set, we had Franklin with their newest single, Shark, right here on CFRC 101.9 FM. This is What's Brewing. Coming up next, we have Lonely Little Kitsch with Puncture Wounds. This was released as a single November 13th. They are a Niagara-based alt-rock group. This song is about disassociating and wanting to feel numb when something is too painful or your emotions are too overwhelming. You'd rather just shut down and feel nothing at all. They also said that they're lifelong music fans, self-described music nerds, and they wanted to create their own brand of alternative music that wasn't defined by current trends or labels. So they're definitely someone to look out for. And then finally, we have Deer Fang and Seventh Dose partnering up with Broken. This was released as a single on December 10th. Deer Fang is a St. Catharines-based grunge gaze group. And then Seventh Dose is a Toronto-based, more punk rock alternative group. This is in anticipation of Deer Fang's upcoming debut album, expected to release in March of 2026. So another thing to look forward to. This song specifically is about learning from the past and moving forward, that we may have our flaws, but we are not lesser people for them. Sometimes we wear masks to hide those flaws, to disguise ourselves, when in reality, the more we embrace our imperfections, the easier it is to move forward. So without further ado, here's Lonely Little Kitsch with Puncture Wounds on CFRC 101.9 FM. This is What's Brewing.
In a false, don't make a sound. I can't see.
just heard from Deer Fang in Seventh Dose with Broken. Before that, we had Puncture Wounds by Lonely Little Kitsch. We're getting into our last two songs of the half hour. So to kick things off, we have Computer with Weird New Vocation, released on their album Station on the Hill from October 10th. This is a Vancouver-based math rock, noise rock, post-punk-ish group. This song is about overstimulation, the disillusionment of self and success. They have a lot of wordplay in it, and this also started as a two-man recording project and has now grown with sax, synth, percussion, and more. And then finally, we're going to finish today off with STEM Champ and Reality Dawns, released as a single December 12th. This is an Edmonton-based emo-tinged indie rock group following up to their album Prairie Skies Forever from November of last year. This is a song about falling into desire and reaching towards better tomorrows. This is also noted as a farewell song. They may be taking some time off to work on new music and projects, but definitely keep an eye out for them. Here's Computer with Weird New Vocation on CFRC 101.9 FM. This is What's Brewing.
Got a new job today. With suits and shoes and socks and everything.